How's your expectation level this morning? Has it lifted since you came? Is it good? It's been a phenomenal morning, hasn't it? Thank you, band. You are awesome. You can take a seat. Thank you, Ethan. You're a legend as well. You can take a seat as well. Paste every notes up the right way. That's always good. So we're in a season. This is our last message this month for Songs in the Night. And I have to tell you, preaching from Job is never one of my favorite things to try and do. It's an interesting book of the Bible because as much as it may be a true account, there's a lot of bad advice throughout the book of Job. But we have picked a good verse, so that's all good. But I want to talk this morning. I've entitled my message Game Changers. Because I think, and I'll hook it into what our theme is shortly, but the thought that came to me over the week is that God wants to be a game changer in our life, and he wants us to be game changers in the world around us. Now, we understand the concept of a game changer, right? So that's like in a sports analogy, if you were going to go sports, that's where you sub someone out, and all of a sudden, that one person brings just energy and vitality that lifts the whole team. It's the timeout that stops the opposition's momentum when they're just starting to pick up some steam. If you're a bit of basketball fan of some of those types of things, it's an injury to a key player if you wanted to go for a negative one that causes you to lose momentum in the other team to kick off. It's taking that moment to refocus. I was thinking about I watch movies. Me and Luke were bouncing some quotes on Friday night from various movies. But in terms of game changers, there were two movies that came to mind. One of them is Happy Gilmore. Now, if you haven't seen it, you're probably not an Adam Sandler fan. It is an Adam Sandler movie. Basically, Adam Sandler plays an ex-ice hockey player who becomes a golfer. He has a massive long shot and is rubbish at the putting. But there's all this turmoil going on. He's lost his grandma's house and he's trying to win this tournament in order to get his grandma's house back. And his coach had said, go to your happy place. Go to your happy place. And so he had this happy place that he created that was, you know, he had a girlfriend and you know, random things as Adam Sandler has in Adam Sandler movies, which we will not go into. But in the midst of this last round of the tournament, he's been hit by a car earlier because his opposition's trying to take him out. So he's sort of a little bit sore and things aren't going badly. There's hecklers. There's all sorts of things going wrong. And he gets to this point and he's way behind and he's stressed about his grandma's house and he's stressed about all these things. And what happens is he gets to this point and his girlfriend brings his grandma and his grandma just says, Happy, I just want you to be happy. Don't worry about the house. Don't worry about anything else. You just be happy. And he paused because his happy place had turned bad earlier in the movie. And he just paused and he refocused and he took that moment to all of a sudden, game changer. And he gets to the end and he wins, of course, because that's what we like to see in movies. The other movie that I thought of was a movie called Remember the Titans, which is based on a true story. See, I'll finish with that one because happy to move on with that one. But Remember the Titans is about one of the, I think, the first integrated school and their rugby, their American football team. When there was segregation in schools and they brought the African Americans and the European white Americans, whatever you want to call them, into one team. And there was, of course, friction and all sorts of things going on. It's a fantastic movie. I highly recommend watching it. But what happens is they go through the season and they've gone away and they've, like at the beginning, they go away to camp, and they're all meeting each other, and they've got tensions, and they've got dramas, and they've got things going on, and the coach takes them through it, and they get out the other side. And what happens is they go through their whole season, and they win every game. They win absolutely every game, and they get to the championship game for the state. And it's halftime, and they're losing. For the first time, they're losing. And the coach, he's like, mate, guys, we had a great season. They'd lost one of their key players in a car accident. You know, he was alive, but he was paralyzed. And so they had this moment, and the coach says, guys, we've done had a great season. Just go out there and play your best. And the co-captain, an African-American guy called Julius, says, all respect, coach, but you demanded more from us. You demanded perfection when we started this process. He says, and I'm not perfect, and no one else here in this room is perfect, but as a team, so far this season, we have been perfect, and we would like to finish that way. And what happens is, game changer, they go out, they rock it, they win that last championship match, right? Great times. But when it comes to real life, when it comes to our life, we have game changers, right? We have things in our life, both positive and negative. Someone speaks a word of encouragement like we did this morning. All of a sudden, our heart lifts. It's a game changer. Because all of a sudden, we're now seeing with a slightly different perspective. Someone speaks a prophetic word or something over us, and all of a sudden, it's a game changer and we're lifted. Sometimes a game changer is a health scare. All of a sudden, your lifestyle, your diet, those sort of things catch up with you. I'm waiting for that day in the not too distant future. But you basically have to change your lifestyle to get healthy, right? It's a game changer because you've had this health scare. Sometimes it's a book or an article or a podcast. I listen to lots of not as many as I used to, but I listened to this one podcast, and for me, it was a game changer because I let it speak to me. I opened my heart up to it. There's a guy called Andy Stanley in the States who's a fairly significant pastor over there. His dad is Charles Stanley, for those who may watch Christian TV, and you know, we'll open the Word and God will speak. Anyway, I don't know the line, but so Andy Stanley, about 5 or 6 years ago, he did a sermon called A New You Resolution, and it was the first sermon he preached at the start of the year. He says, we often create New Year's resolutions about what we want to do. He said, but it's always more important to decide who we want to be before we decide what we want to do. And I was probably in my mid-20s, early 20s, somewhere in that range. I must be late 20s. No, we can chat later, mate. That'd be great. That's a great word, mate. So in this message, Andy Stanley, he says it's more important to decide who you want to be. And I hadn't gone through that process. You know, sometimes you go through those phases. And so I literally sat down, and he said, what you want to do is you want to write down at the end of your life what you want people to say, you know, what you want people at your funeral to say about you. And he says, you know, and you pick the key people. So I was married at the time, so of course my wife, I don't think we had any kids, but I decided that, you know, if we had kids, what would my future kids say? Friends, family, church mates, all those sorts of things. And I sat down, and you know what? Most of the time it's not, you know, he worked really well. You know, he worked so hard. Those aren't the things you want people to think about you when you're in that point. And so I actually went through this process and just determined about, I think I got to about 9 things that if I can have those 9 things said about me at the end of my life, man, I would be successful. I would feel like that is who I am. There were things like full of the Holy Spirit and anointing. That's something that I want to be known for. So I'm working on that one. That's not there yet. That's something I'm progressing on, as we all are. But, gosh, is anyone else warm? I've been warm all morning, and I don't know whether it's just because I'm... It's just me. Okay, that's fun. I can handle that. It's because the roof's not leaking. That's right. Pastor Don, sorry, I forgot to say that. I jumped straight into my message. Pastor Don asked me to let you know that for those of you who have lived through a couple of winters in this building, you'll be aware that sometimes you need to come in with your wet weather gear on just to sit in the auditorium. And that has now been remedied. So our roof is fixed, praise God. The techs are all happy because there was some of that coming down on some tech equipment. So it's about 20K and we have a roof that shouldn't leak anymore. Fantastic. That's something to get excited about, isn't it? Anyway, back to game changers. So I went through this process. And what I have to do now, though, is every so often read through that and remind myself what I want to be known for. Because if I don't, then it's not going to change my life. It's just going to be words on a page, right? And so when it comes to this message and Job 35:10, How does that gel with songs in the night? Let me try and tentatively pull it all together just so you know how I got this. Now, just so you know, a lot of people think, you know, preachers, holy, spiritual, all that sort of stuff. Now, I've been pondering this message for 3 or 4 weeks, but it was only a game of cards on Tuesday night that actually gave me the core of my message. I do a lot of work on a computer at night, and sometimes you just need a break. And I don't want to walk away and do stuff. You know, I don't want to. If you get distracted by TV, there's half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour gone. If you do, you know, you start watching YouTube videos, there's a rabbit hole gone. So I have a USB that has portable apps on it that you can load up on any Windows computer. And one of them is it has 41 versions of card games like Solitaire and Spider and Free Cell and 41. I don't know if anyone actually knew there were 41 of those. I counted them last night while I was prepping for this, going, how many does that have? 41, by the way. Anyway, what happened was I was playing a couple of these games, and I jumped from one game to the next game, and I actually made a mistake of presuming that the rules to that game were going to match the rules to this card game, and so I was only moving one card at a time to try and finish this game. And I'd played it like 3 times and went, about time to get back. And then all of a sudden, I grabbed a stack of the same suit just by accident, and the whole thing moved. I went, what? What? It's more than one card. I can move a stack. This changes everything. Game changer. Game changer. Literally a game changer. So there you go. Sometimes people get excited about cards. But it was more for this, which was good. But back to the message. Because while this verse up here that we've written here says, where is God my maker who gives songs in the night? It's actually only the last 2/3 of the verse. Because the first portion of the verse says, nobody says, where is God my maker who gives songs in the night? And where there's a but, then it's often good to go back to the verse before, gain a little bit of context. So I was doing that and having a look. And I read it through a couple of versions. And I think the message captures it the best for me, in terms of where Elihu was going with this. Elihu, he's not here, he's not going to get offended. This is what the message says: when times get bad, people cry out for help. They cry for relief from being kicked around, but never give God a thought when things go well. When God puts spontaneous songs into our heart. And I was thinking about that and I thought, man, you know what? He's challenging us to change the game. From being crisis Christians who come to God and says, God, I have this need. God, I need you now. God, there's a bill. God, there's a family relationship. God, there's a need that I have. And coming to him in those moments, and then when it goes well or when it all works well, then we're just like off on our life, carrying on, not worried about much else, just like, you know, and then until the next crisis when it's, God, I need you more. God, I need this from you. And Elihu was saying, it's how people live, but I'm saying it's how we shouldn't live. We should be people who remember God in the good times, who change the game and say, God, when it's hard, I'm going to come to you. By all means, God's not there to say, ha ha, you're in a bad place. Come to him with your needs. Come to him in those stressful moments. Come to those times when you're looking for godly resource, when you're looking for help, when you're looking for safety and security. The Bible talks about God, you're my shelter and my rock. You're my help in times of need. He is those things, but he is not just those things. The picture I got was this. If you're a person who has to manage money, right, and you, as most of us do if we live our life, let's say you get into a situation where you get into a ridiculous amount of debt, and you just can't find your way out of it. Smart person says, I'm going to a financial advisor. I'm going to talk to them. They're going to help me work through these debts. They're going to help me deal with the debtors. They're going to help me deal with creating a written budget if you don't live on one of those. All those sorts of things. And so you go to this person who helps you in your moment of need, and they work you through it. And you get out the other side 6 months later, and all of a sudden, your finances are stable. They're okay. You're not stressed. It's going all right. So you stop talking to the financial advisor. 12 months later, oh my goodness, it's Christmas, I'm back in debt, whatever your circumstances. And all of a sudden, I need the financial crisis. I need the financial advisor again, right? 6 months later, he's back on deck. All of a sudden, massive inheritance comes through. What does the person do? Probably just goes and spends it. What he should do is take it to the financial advisor and say, I've got $100,000 of inheritance. I want to be wise with this. Because he doesn't just go to the financial advisor in the crisis. He goes to the financial advisor when he's doing well. And then he can live well. Then he can grow. Then he can develop. Then he can develop stuff. We don't want to be crisis-only Christians, do we? They cry for relief from being kicked around, but never give God a thought when things go well, when God puts spontaneous songs in their heart. Our relationship with God should be central in difficult and amazing times. Because how much more amazing could they be if we take them and we plant them in God and we walk with him through those times? See, because if we let God be a game changer in our life, as we work through those processes, because let's be honest, some of those things we've gone through, we've all gone through game-changing things, right? People have let us down, and all of a sudden we trust people less. It's a game-changer when people disappoint us. We go through moments of struggle and strife, and it's a game-changer. We do get some encouragement, but it seems like more often than not, we're not. More often, we're getting pushed down. We're feeling stressed. We're feeling like it's getting hard. Now we need to allow God to be the game changer to help us find those ways to say, I'm going to find forgiveness. Someone's hurt me. Man, it's hard and it's difficult, but I'm going to allow God to be the game changer in that circumstance and help me find forgiveness. Help me release them. And the reality is that the way that we do that, the way that we allow God to be a game changer is great. Things like this morning, you came to church. That is a great way to let God be a game changer, because you have placed yourself in an environment where God can speak to you if you choose to listen. Well done. Fantastic. Encourage you to do it more and more. But it's also during the week when things, and because if you create a habit where, I mean, you know, ideally it's every day, but let's be honest, most of us don't have quiet times every day. 2, 3, 4 regularly. If you just find, man, every Tuesday, every Thursday, every Saturday, I'm going to find whatever it is that you can find that becomes a rhythm to you. If you can do that, if you can build that habit into your life, if you can build that into where you are, it becomes a game changer, because in the hard times, you come and say, God, this week is hard. Today is difficult. But the following week, when things are going well, you've got that time and you're spending it with God. What are you going to talk about? Man, it's been a great week this week, God. And so because we make that time, because we prioritize that time with God, all of a sudden, we're finding that we are not just crisis Christians, but we are day-to-day Christians that just seek him. Man, there's loads of nuggets as well for other game-changing things throughout the Bible. Just look at Matthew 5-7, like the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's a game-changer. Poor in spirit? We're blessed if we're poor in spirit? Man, if you can take that on board, that's how you think someone like Don is rich in spirit? No, he's poor in spirit. He gets to see these things. He gets to see miracles. Why? Because he knows he's poor and he needs God. The moment you think that you're doing it on your own, the moment you think you've got it yourself, the moment you think, you know, you look at any person who carries an anointing and they carry it because God trusts them with it, because they know they need God. Man, I'm feeling it more and more in my own life that I just, in my family, in my finances, when I preach, when I lead, even in my workplace, I'm like, God, I'm starting to manage staff. When it was just paperwork, it's just paperwork. But I'm starting to manage staff, and more as I'm dealing with people, I'm like, God, I need your wisdom. God, I need your love and your grace. God, please don't let me say that, because I really want to say that. But we're poor in spirit, because we just need him, don't we? Every moment, every time, we need him. Blessed are the meek. The meek. Everyone goes, meek, weak. No, no. Meekness is not weakness. It may rhyme, but it's not true. Meekness is strength under control. The best explanation I've found is that of a tamed animal. You take a stallion and you break it and you tame it, it still has the same power, doesn't it? It still has the same strength. It hasn't lost any strength. It's just controlling it and directing it for its master. Blessed are the meek. There's a game changer. Blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, see, there's one of my challenges. Because I love a good, robust discussion. Respectful. I still remember having a chat with one guy. We had different theological, we were both Christians, but one theological point we just didn't agree on. We sat there for 10 minutes, just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Not disrespectful, just great discussion. And the girls at the other end goes, "We can't believe you just spent 10 minutes discussing that. We did it in 30 seconds. Yeah, but did you actually hear each other, or you just agreed to disagree within 30 seconds? Like, so anyway, that's me. But so blessed are the peacemakers. It's a game changer for some of us, isn't it? Then there's, if you keep going through it, you know that, that the primary gauge of sin is not your action, but your heart. It's not what you do, it's what you think, it's what you feel. It's that, that lust is now equal to adultery, that hate is equal to murder, that's a game changer. Because all of a sudden, it's not about what people can see me doing or what I can do or not do. It's about what's happening inside me. But we have to let God work in us. We have to let God develop that in us. We have to let God be the game changer. Because the reality is that I would still be the punk, swearing, intermediate kid who just didn't like anyone and couldn't be bothered with anyone as if God hadn't come and made a game changer in my life. Probably wouldn't be an intermediate. I hope I wouldn't be, but still be a punk. There's a story I heard of a lumberjack who was faithfully coming to, he'd faithfully go to church every week, and he was what you would consider a gentle giant, just a big guy, knocks trees down for a living, but everyone who knew him thought he was just this gentle guy that everyone loved, and he passed away, and he had no family, so the pastor was given the task of clearing out his cabin, and the pastor came through, and he happened to find a prayer journal from this guy. And you know what was in it? "God, please help me with my temper. God, please help me with my anger. God, please help me to not lose it." Because he knew his heart. His heart had anger. His heart had a temper issue, but he prayed and he sought God. And you know what? His heart before God was broken. His heart before God was, "God, I need you to work in this area of my life. I'm bringing it before you daily. I'm bringing it before you every moment." And the heart worked out into his actual life where nobody knew that was what he was struggling with. Love your enemies. There's a game changer. Yeah. We won't stay on that one for too long, shall we? But we talked earlier about forgiveness, praying for your enemies, for those who use you. Elihu issued a blanket statement. His statement was, when times get bad, people cry out for God, when they cry for relief from being kicked around, but never give God a thought when things go well, when God puts spontaneous songs in their heart. He made a blanket statement that that's how people live. We don't have to be those people. We can let God be a game changer in our life, and we can be people who are not just crisis Christians, but are Christians who bring God into every aspect of our life, into every moment. I'm aware that I've spoken about choosing game-changing attitudes, you know, those scriptures. You can choose those things and move forward. We all have had game-changing experiences, though, haven't we, through life, relationships that have broken down, financial situations that were beyond our control, just a whole bunch of things in life that can twist us. And I'm reading a book at the moment by a guy called Cary Newhoff called Things I Didn't Know, I think it was, something like that. I'll have to double check it. But essentially it's seven things that you just don't expect when you're young, you know, like cynicism. Just as you go through life happens to you. You can, things go badly, you trust people, they let you down, you know, you give to people and they're not grateful. And you can over time become cynical. He's got seven things that you just don't expect, you know, in life and in church. And, you know, we start off all, teenagers are all like, woo, woo, and optimistic, and I'm going to change the world. And they can, and we all can. But over time, we can sometimes just let things creep in, we've let game changers affect us in a negative way. We have struggles and successes, disappointments and happiness. We get words of encouragement or discouragement. We have strengths and weaknesses, and working through some of those things can take time for sure. But it's about being someone who's going to choose to be on that journey. That's not someone who says, "Where is the God who brings songs in the night?" but someone who sings the songs in the night. That gives that praise, as we've heard earlier in the month, Paul and Silas in the jail, just middle of the night, praising God, singing songs and praying prayers. Some things take counseling, some things like cleansing streams. Most of it, because we've had our life already to this point, but what we need is to let God become our game changer, so that we can then be a game changer for the people around us. Because they need it. They really need us to be people that reflect God. I hope that in your heart you want to be someone who thrives. Like a friend earlier with the financial thing, not someone who just comes when things are difficult, but someone who says, "Man, I'm going to bring you every moment, every triumph, every struggle, I'm going to bring it to you, God." The band can come, please. But in order to allow godly game changers to have effect, we have to be willing to listen and obey when he speaks to us. And that's the struggle, isn't it? That's the fun. That if we really want to become game changers, we have to let God game change our lives. And that's difficult because there's things we like and things that we've got that we're just used to. We got used to them. Things like in your house, you know, like we had a couple of holes in our walls because there was no door stops on the doors, and you know, kids will push doors and you just don't see them now. Like, they've been like that for 2 years, and I keep going, you know, every so often you'll be like, "Oh, yeah, so I need to plaster that and put a door stop on." But just background noise. We all have those little things in our life, don't we? Just little niggles, little things going on. I want to encourage you. There's a couple of sets of people that I really, as I was preparing this message, that I want to just highlight. I think one of those is unforgiveness. Because it is a game changer. And this is something I really strongly felt, that there is someone or some people here that unforgiveness is a major game changer for you, that it is something that is part of who you are. And it's bigger than that. The consequences are spreading beyond just the relationship with the person that you have unforgiveness with. I felt God say that it's spreading to other relationships and even to the point of affecting physical and mental health. There are studies that show unforgiveness does affect your biology. And I want to say that today, I haven't been here that long, that today, there's a space for you today to begin the process of unforgiveness. Did you hear that word that I used though? The process of unforgiveness. We'd like to wish it was a moment of unforgiveness. We'd like to wish that it was just done. But unfortunately, the human brain has memory capacity and it's always a process. But today, there's grace this morning for you. There's grace for that to be a game changer for you, that you would begin to experience relational health again, to begin to experience the benefit of forgiveness, something that God has for you. The other one that I strongly felt was that there are people who carry disappointment with God. We don't like to talk about that in Christian circles, do we? Because God is perfect and holy, and God is love and grace and peace. But we walk through life with our expectations. Sometimes our expectations aren't met by God. We don't understand why. But unmet expectations equals disappointment. And I think there's a space here this morning that if you are struggling to trust God again, if you're struggling to believe God again, if you're struggling because you felt like he let you down, I think there's grace here for you to maybe gain some perspective, to let God speak to you, and to let that be a game changer, that you would begin to find trust in God again and faith in God again and stepping into something new again. It's possible as well that you're here today and you would not consider yourself a Christian. You don't go to church normally, or you don't consider yourself as someone who has a relationship with God, or faith, but you could be interested in a God that wants to change your life. I've got to be honest, he's here today. Jesus is a game changer. And he wants your life so that he can partner with you in it and bring about those positive game changes that we've had and spoken about today. Can you just bow your heads for a moment? I am going to give an opportunity in a moment for those who may want to respond. And not just necessarily respond to the unforgiveness or the disappointment with God, or if you want to start a relationship with God. But maybe you just want to take that next step and say, God, I want to be a game changer in my world, and I need to lay some things down so that you can be a game changer in those areas. So maybe there's some things that even just this morning as I've been talking, that God's been putting his finger on for you, that he'd like to be a game changer and bring wholeness and health and healing into. So I want to just take a moment, and just between you and God, say, God, this is where I'm at. You know, the great thing, God's not going to be surprised by you being honest with him. He's not going to say, wow, really, you're in that place? Your heart's there? I can't believe it. He knows. And as Don said earlier, oh, he knows you and he loves you. His love is here for you. This morning, if you carry an unforgiveness, there's a grace. If there's disappointment, there's a grace. If you want to start a journey with a God who's a game changer, wants to bring game-changing greatness into your life, or if God's speaking to you, I'm going to pray, then we'll stand and we'll get the band to lead us in a song, and then you can respond if you wish to. God, this morning we come to you, imperfect people carrying game-changing moments from our past. Some of them great moments. Moments of your word being spoken into us. Moments of life being spoken into us. Moments of your grace, and moments of good truth and love, Father God. And we also carry moments, God, that have changed our life, changed our perspective and changed our heart in ways that we didn't see coming. We didn't anticipate, and that we actually never wanted to receive, but we have allowed it to change us in those ways. God, we don't want to be crisis Christians. We want to be Christians, God, that bring you into every area of our life, that honor you in the good times and seeks your support in the difficult. So this morning, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word this morning. I pray that it's landed on some good hearts and hearts that want to receive, Father God. And Lord, I just pray your grace. Lord, I pray courage on those who feel like they need to respond. Help them to know that we are not here to judge, we're here to love, to stand beside, to walk with, to be with, to love on. It's our heart, is that you would feel loved. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I want to invite you to stand. The legendary band is going to lead us. If you want to respond to any of what's been said, or just something of your own, the altar is open again.